Our Bible is full of short stories about people's lives and some incredible things that you read in these short stories. One of these short stories is our text today. You find it in John chapter 4. All of these short stories carry absolutely astounding truths and applications for our lives. And the one we're looking at today is extremely familiar. The reason it's so familiar is because of the tremendous teachings that you find couched in this short story. Now, I would tell you that when I was in school, I really liked short stories because they were short. Kind of the way you feel about sermons. So we have in front of us today a really short story, and it's got an incredibly happy ending. Now, I would tell you that your life and my life could really be described as a short story. It is one that God is currently writing. There are some great chapters yet to be written. There are chapters already in the past. Some of those were great. Some of those probably were not so great. And yet the story continues to unfold. And so I pray that as we make our way along the path, that the short story in our life that God is writing will have an incredibly happy ending. And I would just tell you that what could contribute to that happy ending could be something that God does in your life this very day. So this short story we're going to do like some people do. We're going to go to the last chapter and read about the ending, and then we're going to come back to the beginning and fill in the blanks. So we're in John chapter 4, if you'd go to verse 39. It says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. So the last chapter has a very happy ending. The story that had unfolded before that had 4 actors, so to speak. The first is Jesus Christ. He's the star of the show. And he rightfully should be, don't you agree? He should be the star of the show as we worship. He should be the star of the show as we live our lives. And he's the star of the show in this short story. And then you have the disciples. They also appear in this short story. And in this case, these guys miss the mark. They have their attention on the wrong stuff, and they don't do very well in this short story. And then you have the woman at the well, and it's actually her story. And she was a woman who was a mess that God turned into a masterpiece. Isn't that kind of the way he works? Mess to a masterpiece. And then you've got the townspeople, and they're just going to be the recipients of great blessing because of this stuff that happens in this woman's life. So, incredible challenges in the passage, incredible hope, and even a little bit of rebuke, all in this short story. So, we've got 5 chapters that I want to note today. Most sermons have 3 points in a poem. I've got 5 chapters today. But it's summertime, so you don't have anything better to do. And it's wet outside. First chapter of this short story is a chapter of conversation. In fact, this whole thing could be described as a divine encounter. And you know what a divine encounter is. It's when you're just kind of going along your way and all of a sudden either Jesus shows up in your life or somebody shows up in your life who has a word to share with you and it's very impactful. We describe these as divine encounters, and that's what happens here. And this conversation is how it starts, and it's an open subject. This woman that Jesus Christ began the conversation with was hurting. She was having a painful life. She had been married 5 times and had 5 failed marriages. Now that's a lot of failed marriages even in our day and time. And you know that with each failed marriage there was a lot of pain and there was a lot of suffering and it happened five times. And now she is living with a man and she is not married. That may not seem like a big deal to our culture today, but in God's eyes, that's a big deal and it's missing the mark really bad. And so she's going to the well to get water apart from the city, and she's going at noon. Now that's significant in itself, because most of the time the women were the ones who went to get the water, and they would go in the morning before it got hot, or they would go late in the afternoon after it had cooled off. She's going at noon because of the ridicule and the abuse that she's been taking from the other women. And so she's an outcast. She is hurting over her past failures. She's covering it up pretty well. She is not expressing her pain, but she is enduring it. And so I would tell you there's probably a lot of folks who are in her shoes in this room today. And you do have a lot of pain in your life. And maybe nobody knows about it a whole lot, but you're just enduring it. You're fighting your way through it, hoping that at some point, at some time, you're going to get some relief. And you're just digging through it, pulling up your bootstraps, and you're going to get through that pain. And so as Jesus begins the conversation, it's kind of an open conversation. And then there's this obvious Savior. The passage said that He had to pass through Samaria. Now, a little bit of background is very helpful, because Jesus spent most of His life up in the northern part of Israel, and then you had a section between the northern part and Jerusalem called Samaria. And so Jews traveling would go around Samaria because there was intense racial hatred between Samaritans and Jews. The Samaritans were not full-blood Jews. They'd had some other races mixed in. They had a different kind of religion. And there was intense racial hatred between the two. So there was just no interaction whatsoever. Also, there was a very well-known position that a man would never be talking in public with a woman, particularly a Jewish man and a Samaritan woman. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is breaking through all of these barriers in order to get to this woman, and He had to go there. And you say, well, why did He have to go there? Because He's going to be involved in her life, in her short story. He knew she was going to be there. He also knew what her life was like. He also knew her failures. He also knew the work that could be done through her life. He also knew what her potential was. And so as they're going down to Jerusalem, or up to Jerusalem, He tells His disciples, I have got to go through Samaria. And not only did He have to go through Samaria, He had to go through this town at this particular day and be there at that particular time. Jesus Christ knows. Now, do you realize, when you think about your life, Jesus knows today. He knows your failures. He knows your past. He knows your victories. He knows your anxiety. He knows your potential. He knows. And I don't believe it's an accident that anybody here is present today. God knew that you would be here today. Jesus knew it. And here's the good news. He's passed this way Himself today. He's with us right here. And so maybe it's time that you and I had an open and honest conversation with Jesus Christ. And so He will break through every barrier that He has to break through to get before you. He did all that for the woman. He'll do everything like that for you. Whatever He has to get through to get you before Him, I promise you that He'll do that. Now, Jesus knows. Maybe you've got it covered really well. He understands that. And I would tell you that He is reaching out to you today. Maybe you need to have this open and honest conversation with Him today. Chapter 1, conversation. Chapter 2 was curiosity. There was an honest confrontation. Jesus Christ kind of begins the curiosity, and what are you doing? I've come to get water, He said. And then if you knew who you were talking to, then you would ask, and I would give you living water from which you drink, you will never thirst again. And so that kind of got a little bit of interest going, and she, in the ongoing conversation, recognizes him as a Jewish man, and then it makes some progression. She says, well, are you greater than our father Jacob who dug this well? And then it progresses and she says, I see you're a prophet. And then she recognizes you're the Messiah. And so the curiosity led her all the way to the top to get to the point where she recognized that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Now, he was not condemning her, but he was pointing out her failure. It was a confrontation. Wasn't mean, wasn't hateful, but a confrontation. Now, I will just tell you, part of the role that you and I have as followers of Christ, that I have as a pastor, that our church embraces, we've got to confront our culture with its sin. Now, the culture says, you're judging me. But that's not the case at all. Jesus didn't judge her at all. But he confronted her about her sin. And so that is precisely what we've got to do. You don't recognize you need a Savior till you recognize that you've fallen in sin. And so she had missed the mark, and he lovingly said, your life does not meet the standard. And so this curiosity leads her to say, I'd like to have some of that living water. So, sir, give me a drink. I would just say, at this point in the story, it's not so fast. He's willing to give you the drink, but you got to understand what you're drinking. Now, one of the areas that has hurt the church in America is that there's been a message proclaimed that said, look, if you just say a prayer and maybe be baptized, then you've punched your ticket to eternal life. And then you can go back to the life you had before. He didn't let her slip off like that. And I guarantee you, Jesus Christ is not letting any of us slip off like that. Because a commitment that says it's not life change involved here is not a real commitment. And so that is a false presentation of a warped view of the gospel. Because there is this intense change that occurs when we actually drink the living water. So he wasn't going to let her drink the water and then go back into her life of sin. There's going to be this gigantic change in her life. And so this curiosity has got her on a track that is going to end up with her receiving eternal life. So she's asking the question, could this really be the Savior? Could this really be the Messiah? And you may be curious today, thinking, well, could all this really be true? Could the Bible be true after all? Could Jesus Christ open up the door for me for a new chance, a new opportunity for eternal life? And curiosity will take you to the very feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 was a chapter of curiosity. Chapter 3 was a chapter of conviction. So there's this claim of truth. Jesus commented on her husband's, her current relationship. He's starting to dig down deep into her life. It looks like he got kind of personal, doesn't it? I've had a lot of conversations with people, and you bring up Jesus Christ, and they say, well, that's kind of a personal issue. Well, yes, it is personal, but that doesn't mean you avoid the issue. And so he just stepped right into her personal life. And he just said, look, I know what's going on with you. And so I'm giving you an opportunity to get to the truth. And when he got to the truth, she brought up a case of tradition. It's interesting. She pivoted. When it got uncomfortable, she started talking about religion. Isn't that amazing? Well, she said, you Jews talk about worshiping in Jerusalem. We worship down here. And you Jews say you got the truth. We say we got the truth. So she wanted to get it off that uncomfortable personal deal and get it over to talk about religion. And human beings have been doing that ever since. Let me talk to you about your walk with Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, I got baptized when I was sometime. Yes, I was raised over in this church over here. Yes, I'm a member of this church. And so we kind of avoid the sensitive spot by shifting the conversation over to the religion. Jesus wouldn't have that. He kept bringing it back in. And he gave that incredible statement when he said, look, the true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And isn't that the bottom line? In spirit would be with freedom and with joy, with God working. And in truth, it's biblical truth that's solid that we can stand on. Pray about our worship services. We say, God, we want our worship to be done in spirit and in truth. If you got truth without spirit, you got dead religion. If you got spirit without truth, you got heresy. We want spirit and truth. And so that's what he presents to this lady. And so the Lord is not going to let her off the hook. Don't you appreciate that about Jesus Christ? He won't let you off the hook. She tried to wiggle off, but he set the hook. Have any of you ever tried to run from God? Anybody ever tried that? If you have, I wonder how that worked out for you. It doesn't work very good, does it? Once he gets a hold of you, he won't let you off the hook. I will tell you that I tried to run. I knew God wanted me to be a preacher, and I decided that that isn't what I wanted to do, and I tried to run. And I ran pretty hard, and I ran pretty far, but at some point the Lord let me get to the end of it, and he yanked it really hard. And I would just tell you that was a really bad chapter in my short story. And so God's not going to let you off the hook. And he didn't let the woman off the hook. And so today I want you to recognize Jesus Christ knows. He knows the intimate details. He knows the whole story. He's offering you hope, a fresh start. And I would just tell you, he wants to give you a drink of this water that if you'll drink it, you'll never thirst again. Chapter 3 is a chapter of conviction. She's now convicted that she needs him. Chapter number 4 is a chapter of conversion. Chapter of conversion. So there was a revelation of the Savior. She recognized this is the Messiah. And she says, I'm looking for a Messiah. And Jesus plainly said, I'm He. Now, some people will tell you, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. Well, I beg to differ. In this passage right here, he clearly says, I'm the one you're looking for. I'm the guy. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the one. If you're looking for a place where Jesus plainly says that, John chapter 4 is your spot. And so she then comes to a realization. She acknowledges the fact that he is the Messiah. She gets her a drink of this water from which she will never have to thirst again, and she was converted. Changed dramatically on the inside. Now, she still had 5 failed marriages to deal with, and the scars and the baggage that would bring. Now, that would be a lot of baggage. Do you agree? If you've been through one divorce, you know the baggage. If you've been through a couple, you know the baggage. Can you imagine 5? And so when she got her life right with Jesus Christ, it didn't make all that go away. It was still there. She still had issues to work through. She had to deal with that dude she was living with. And I can assure you that she didn't continue in that. It's not specifically expressed here, but I guarantee you she didn't go back into that. Because she's now changed. She's converted. She's got God living within her. She's gotten a drink of the living water. And that's very distasteful to her now. Her life is changing, but she still has some issues. Anybody that would ever tell you that you get your life right with God and all your problems end are telling you a lie. In some cases, your problems increase a little bit because Satan now kind of comes after you, wants to nullify all that God's doing in your life, and there's still circumstances and consequences that we have to deal with as a result of bad choices in our past. But we are forgiven, and we're given new strength, and the attitude is shifted, and the light heart is there, and the knowledge that God is working all this stuff out is in our lives. So this lady was absolutely converted. I wonder if there's anybody today in your short story, you've been curious, you've had the conversation, and you've even been convicted, but you just have fallen one step short, and that's conversion. Well, the good news is that this is the day that you can get you a good long drink of some water that if you'll drink it, you'll never thirst again. Jesus Christ. Now, the story doesn't end. In fact, this last chapter of the message kind of tells us the whole purpose of it all. I would call this last chapter commission. Commission. And so, the lady gets personal redemption. And then we have that part where the disciples come in. It's a way of religion, I'll call it. Now, the disciples, you know who they were. They were the guys traveling with Jesus. They've already been with Him for a while. And so, they understand stuff. And they had come to that spot. They were hungry. So, they went into town to get food. They're going to bring some bread back. Jesus is there by Himself because He is engaged in this divine encounter. They're off getting food. So they come back and they're like, what's going on here? Does Jesus not know that He's talking to a woman? I think He knew that, don't you? Does Jesus not know He's talking to a Samaritan woman? It looks like the Lord has lost His mind. His hunger has driven Him insane. They would have walked right past that woman, not given her a second thought. She's a Samaritan woman. What worth is she? See, here's the deal. They were talking about fixing lunch. Jesus was talking about fishing for people. And I think they had been with Jesus so much that they had forgotten what their life was like before He was involved. And they had forgotten the original time when they came to Him. He said, come and follow Me and I will make you fishers of men, fishers of people. And so now they've gotten so familiar with Him, they're more concerned about food than they are fishing. And so they want lunch. So their priorities have kind of got shifted. And I would just tell you, for you and I, man, that is a word for us. Because the longer we walk with Jesus Christ, the greater our tendency to forget the purpose of it all. Had a great illustration of that this morning. Last week, back in the green room, a young lady asked if we could get cups in the little room back here that the worship people hang out. And I said, yeah, we can get cups. I think we can make that happen. So I told a couple of people during the week, we need to get some cups back there. People want to drink some water out of a cup. So we came in there today, and I walked in there, and guess what? There were no cups. Now, I went to the lady that asked for them, and I said, hey, I want to tell you something, man. There's no cups. I told Mark Warren to do it, but he didn't do it. Throw people on the bus every chance you get. It develops their character. You know what she said? She, man, that is fine. It's no problem. And that's great. That should have been the right response. There's bigger issues at stake today than no cups in a room, right? And so I walked up to another guy and I said, hey, I think I want to gripe a little bit today. There were no cups in the green room. And he said, take a number. And I said, that's it. That's really it. Focusing on stuff What are we going to have for lunch? Jesus, we got fish and chips. We hit the Taco Bell, man. We got some tacos. What are you doing talking to that woman? She said, look, I got meat to eat. I got food to eat you don't even know about, guys. You're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole point. Now, we're a Baptist church, right? Here's some observations. Baptists, some of you already, you've scoped out your seat in this new building. You're forming the seat of education to fit you. And before long, you're going to be very attached to that spot. And you're not going to like it if somebody sits in it. Do you know, I would throw this in, I didn't tell the first service, I just thought about it. My wife and her family moved to town when she was like in middle school or something. And so they went to the church where I was a member. She went there and sat down getting ready for worship. And a woman walked up, touched on the shoulder and said, honey, you're sitting in my seat. Little did she know that was her future mother-in-law. Yes, it was my mother. People get really attached to their Bible study classes. Have you noticed that? Their room. Move the room, dude. Death. And I'm going to talk about music. Don't have to, do I? The longer we walk with Jesus, the more our tendency to get caught up in the food that Jesus wants us to eat, and we want lunch. And we just can't do that. We can't allow ourselves to fall into that. Because there's a lot of women out there like this woman who they need the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't need us to be fussing because we didn't get a cup. And am I just preaching to me or do you agree with that? Not very enthusiastically, but you agree with it. That's good. Take what you can get. So he kind of rebukes them. And it's a rebuke for us. And then the woman makes it clear, a witness of relevance. She goes home, back to her town. Notice she doesn't go to the women. Because the women didn't like her. There went a chair. No, it wasn't. Just somebody dropped something. No objections. We got that fixed, believe it or not. Half a prayer. Dog it, I did it again. Short story. Where was I, Kirk? She went to the man. She went to the man. He said, I was on my conclusion. We went to the man. Don't you love it? Oh, man. Somebody up there hates me. Anyway, here we go. So she went to the men. And she just said, I've just met a man who's told me everything he knows about me. I think I've met the Messiah. And out they came to meet him. Now notice that she was not a theologian in residence. She didn't know all the intricate theological details about anything. All she knew was, I just got a drink of some everlasting water. And God has done something. I've met the Messiah. You know, that's about all the witness that you need. And I've been touched by Jesus Christ. And they said, well, we want to go check this out as well. So they came out and they heard him and got him to stay a couple of days. And then here then is the kicker verse of the whole thing where they said, we don't believe anymore because of what you said. We've met him for ourselves. I don't want you to believe in the Messiah because of something that I say. I want you to know him for yourself. If you know him for yourself and you drink of this water, nothing's going to ever shake you away. But if you're trusting him because of what I say, you probably aren't going to make it. don't have to believe because of what you say, preacher. I've met him myself. I got to drink my own self. I know he is the Messiah. It's great for us to hear stories about what God is doing in somebody's life. Don't you like to hear those stories? You like to hear somebody stand up and say, let me tell you what God's done in my life. And they lay out something and say, ooh, man, that's great. But I would like for you to get tired of hearing what God's doing in somebody else's life and get in on what God is doing in your life and in your family. So I'm offering you in the name of Jesus Christ today a fresh new drink of living water that if you drink from that, you will never thirst again. We're getting ready then for the last song of the day. So my life is a short story. And the longer you live, it seems like the shorter the story is. And there's been a lot of chapters. I want the last chapter to be the best one. And your life is a short story as well. All kind of chapters in your past. But I'm just telling you that today this is a divine encounter. You're here. Jesus is here. He's offering you a drink. Maybe it's a time for you to say, you know what? I'm in a bad chapter. I need to get out of the bad chapter, close it, and get a fresh new chapter, a new start with Jesus Christ. That would be a beautiful thing today. Maybe you're visiting with us and you've been praying about joining our church. It could be a new chapter in your life. That'd be great. You can do that today. Be wonderful. But it may be that you're curious, you're hurting, you came into church today and say, is there anything there that can help me? The answer is yes. There is a Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. He knows all about you and He's offering you forgiveness, a new start. He's offering you a drink of water that if you'll take it and drink it, you'll never thirst again. You won't be dependent on somebody talking to you about Him. You'll know Him yourself. And if that's where you are today, I just encourage you as God's Spirit convicts you to make your way to one of our staff who will be at the front and just share with them, I need to get a drink. Just tell them that. How easy would that be? Tell them, I want a drink. We'll go to a place and we'll help you get a drink of this living water. Maybe you just want to come and pray. Tell God, I'm ready for a new chapter to start, Lord. I'm ready to start over. Man, He'll bless you for that. Or to join our church, come talk to one of these folks, and we'll make that happen. So we got this short story going on. And you got a Baptist preacher today offering you a drink. A drink of living water. Let's stand together and worship. I invite you, beseech you, encourage you. Please come. Staff's waiting for you. So is the Lord. God bless you. Let's worship. Won't you come?